Inside, we're going to talk to you about Bishul and Afia today. And we started this discussion last week, but I wanted to really start it from scratch again. And then, if there's enough time, I'd like to talk about Melechus Oreah. That's the plan for today. So as far as Melechus Afia and Bishul is concerned, I prepared four pieces. We'll call it four parts. Roman numeral number one. We start with the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. And this is the principle called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So it means that you cooked something, whoever it is that cooked, and now you cook it a second time. Let's say cooled off in the meantime. So the Rambam writes that Hamavashel Dover Shaya Mavushal called Tzarko. I'm skipping a few words because we'll get to that later. That's going to be a separate paragraph. Potter. Now, the Magen Mishnah says the following. The Rambam Lechora could have told us a bigger chiddush. The Rambam limits his discussion to a case of something that's mevushal called Tzarko. What about a case of a tavshil that only reached Kemaychel ben Josai? That means on the first bishul it already is considered mevushal. Now he's adding a new bishul. Apparently, says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam disagrees with other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba, and the Rambam holds that if on the first Bishul it only reached Kemaychel ben Josai, and now the second Bishul takes it from Kemaychel ben Josai, Kemavushal called Tzarko, then he'd be chayav for such a thing. We don't apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. In this case, Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. So let's just summarize. According to the Rishonim, like the Ramban and the Rashba, once something is mevushal, which means according to Halacha, Kemaychel ben Josai, is we apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. You can't take something that's mevushal and subject it to another Bishul. And that's how Halacha call it Torah Kula. For example, there's an Isur Lav not to be mevashal the Korban Pesach. So let's say it already reached on the first round, bless you, it reached Kemaychel ben Josai. Now he recooks the Basar Pesach. He would not be chayav. If, for example, he took Basa Bacala and he cooked them together, and they reached Kemaychel ben Josai, now he cooks them and extends it to Kemavushal called Tzarko, he would not be Chayev. According to the Rishonim, the same thing applies in Shabbos. Why should Shabbos be different? The Rambam says no. With regard to Kol Torah Kulein Bishul Achar Bishul, once it's Mevushal, it cannot be subject to a second Bishul. But in the case of Shabbos, there the Rambam says, even though it's already Kemaychel ben Josai, so it already has a din bishul to it, you can still subject it to a second bishul, you'd be chayv for the second bishul. And the question is why? Why would you be chayv for the second bishul in Shabbos when in Kol Torah Kulu we have a principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul?
You've improved it.
Excellent. That in Shabbos the machayv is that you improved it. And that's called Melechus Machsheves. So whatever that tikkun is, if it's a significant tikkun, so then, you saw the Maram Kovas on the, yeah. So if there's significant tikkun, then you'll be chayav, says the Rambam. So in all of Torah, like for example, whenever the Torah has an Isur Bishul, whether it's Korban Pesach, or whether it's Basar Bacala, there, you're only chayav if you take something that's not mevushal, it's not a tavshil, that means it's less than kemaychel ben Josai, and you do a maisa bishal on it. But in the case of Shabbos, the Rambam's mechadish that even though it reached kemaychel ben Josai, since your second bishal is so significant that it creates a tikkun, and now it's royal achila, now it's mevushal called tzarko, that tikkun generates a melechus machsheves and yechayev for Shabbos. Okay. Doraisa, the Rambam would say Yechayev. That's the way the Magen Mishnah learns the Rambam. Now, point number two. The question of making tea. Here was the issue that we raised, and that is that if you have tea sense that is now cold, and what you do is you want to have a second cup of tea. Again, the first cup of tea, we said the following. That you pour the water straight out of the mecham into a kli, that kli becomes a kli sheni, and we have a principle kli sheni and a mevashel. So I have no problem adding the sense to a kli sheni. Now he wants to have a second cup of tea. So we would say in Yiddish, Erez Agan Salamdin, he's a big Talmud Chacham, right? So he says to himself, well, now I can pour the hot water directly from the mecham into my second cup of tea. Let's explain. What gives him this lumdus to say that now he can pour it straight from the mecham? We have a principle called yesh bishul achar bishul balach. And why is that so? Because the original bishul is gone. It's history. Now it cooled off. And once it cooled off, there's no shirayim, there's no vestige of the original bishul. And we discussed this once with regard to tochen. If the first tchina is completely gone, and now instead of a liquidy type substance, you have a solid substance, like in the case of concrete, if you remember. So we said that breaking down the concrete into smaller particles would be a problem of tochen. I ain't tochen acher tochen. The answer is the original tochen is completely gone. Because after the tochen, you added water, and you cooked it in an oven, and you get a piece of pottery, and that piece of pottery is a solid that completely, you know, has undermined, and we've long forgotten the original tochen. Here too, in the case of mayim, in the case of liquids, once it cools off, we completely have forgotten about the original bishul, that's gone, and therefore the second bishul becomes the first bishul. However, if there's still heat as a result of the first bishul, so the first bishul is not gone, we're still experiencing the benefits of that first bishul, and therefore ain bishul achar bishul even balach, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So this so-called lamdin, I'm calling him a lamdin, is going to take the second cup of tea, and he's going to say the following: now it's still warm, whatever's left in the cup, you know, yeshirayim from the first cup, and you're worried about putting that underneath the spout of the mecham and its kli rishon is mevashel. The answer is ain bishul achar bishul. I will say with regard to lach we paskin yesh bishul achar bishul, but medvar move it cooled off. But now it's still warm. He can do the bishul. So we said the following: that the issue here is not so much the mayim element in what's left from the first cup. The mayim element that's left from the first cup was subject to bishul, right? Because that mayim came directly from the mecham, so which is heated up over the esh, so that's kli rishon. So that's already ein bishul achar bishul as long as it's still warm. But what happens with the element of the sense? The sense was never subject to bishul. And even if we're subject to Bishul Erev Shabbos, that's not going to help you because it already completely cooled off. So you've got now the following scenario. You've got cold sense, okay? You poured it into a Kli Rishon to make the first cup of tea. That's wonderful. Now you have the cold sense that was never heated up. It was heated up in a Kli Sheni, but a Kli Sheni ain't a Mevashel. So if he did, it's not considered Mevushel. And now you're going to take the leftovers, the Shirayim from the first cup, and you're going to pour directly from the Mecham in a Kli Rishon situation onto that still warm Shirayim from the first cup. So as far as the Mayim is concerned, I have no problem. Because that Mayim from the first cup was a Kli Rishon Dikam Mayim. So that was Mamish Mevushel. And if it's still warm, is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But the sense that you put in to the first cup was never subject to Bishul. Which is not a problem because in the first cup it was cliche, and he said cliche and mavash, but now he wants to put it into a kli rishon. He's subjecting it to bishul for the first time around. So how do we get out of that problem? So the Tzitz Eliezer comes up with a sniffim. I don't know if you know what I mean by sniffim. You know, the post can have a sniff here and a sniff there. It has nothing to do with smoking or smelling. But what I mean by a sniff is they have a branch here and a branch here. I mentioned this when I studied Hilchas Yichud. I wrote a paper on Hilchas Yichud for Tchumim, and I remember the poskim have a sniff here and a sniff here. Well, maybe the door's not locked, and maybe she's a non-Jew. Maybe she's involved in her work. You know, they churn together. But I come from a school of thought where 0 + 0 = 0. So I have trouble with that. But anyway, comes along the Tzitz Eliezer, and he says the fact. Well, first of all, there's very little liquid that hasn't been cooked. And it's less than a gogeres, and therefore we paskin, which is wild, that chatzi shir mutter min haTorah. That itself is wild. He has a Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. It's a big debate about that. Anyway, number two, he says he's not miskaving to be mavashel. It's also a little problematic. I mean, he does want to heat up the tea. I don't know. Then he says it's a malach hashen etzrichel gufa. So anyway, b'kitzah ma'isa. He comes up with some sort of a heter, And you know, Rabbi Moshe says that as a general rule, when you want to take the first cup and you want to put it under the spout for the second cup, make sure it's absolutely dry, and he wants you to wipe off all the teeth. Okay. Comes along the Avnei Nezer, and he wants to say the following. How much sense did he put into the water? In other words, where's the proportion? Where's the ratio?
Very little.
Very relative to the water, it's little. Otherwise, he's going to be drinking very, very, you know, concentrated tea. So the premise is that there's rov mayim. Now the mayim already is already mevushal, and ein bishlach bishlach because it's still warm. Nor of us, you're worried about the miut of the sense. So he wants to know. This is the Avnei Nezer's tshuva. Can we apply the principle of bittul berov? So he has a beautiful tzushtel to a sugya in Bechoros. I get very excited about this. Bechoros daf chav gimel. The Gemara wants to know the following. You have a chatichas nevela, that's you, the animal died without shechita, and it got mixed up with two pieces of shechuta. So we apply the principle in Yavish B'Yavim, we apply the principle of bittul berov. So the Gemara says the following. That as far as Isuva Heter is concerned, if he wants to eat this taroves, we apply the principle of bittul berov. Again, the gigantic issues here about whether he's allowed to eat all three, can he eat one after the other, all three vazat. Okay, I'm not getting into the rush of the rash.
Just
1 second. But as far as Tumas Nevela is concerned, which is Metami B'masa, so the Gemara establishes that even though Bittul Barov will allow him in Issa Veheta to eat the Tarovis, but if he carries the Tarovis, meaning he carries all three pieces, then he's Tamei Tumas Nevela. So the Avnei Nezer says the following. What's the lumdus of the Gemara? What's the Tzvei Dinim that the Gemara is operating with? He says the following. As far as Issa Vehet is concerned, we judge every piece unto itself. And we can always apply Achrei Rabim, you know, called the Parish, Meru Parish, it came from the Rov. But when you get to the problem of Masa, and he's carrying the entire Taroves, and in the Taroves he has Nevela, then for sure he's being Metami himself, Bitumas Masa.
It doesn't apply.
And Bittul won't help you. So again, Bittul applies only as far as Issa Veheta, but not as far as Tuma, says the Avnei Nezer. Why not? Because as far as Issa Veheta is concerned, you can take one piece against the other and say, where did it come from? Yeah, the Rove and all that. But as far as Tumas Masa is concerned, there you're carrying all three. So the Maisa of Masa is Mityaches to all three pieces.
What
yeah, please. That's the way he understands the sugya b'choros.
According to the Shita, who says you can eat all three.
Oh, but that's only as far as Isur v'heter is concerned.
No, okay, what's the Svara? Right.
That Isur nefach lios heter.
Okay, so why doesn't that apply?
Right, but Isur doesn't nefach lios tar. In other words, we don't have a principle in Tumas Vitara that you can take Tuma and go, you know, well, it's tar. You know,
what does it apply here?
No, so Bittul only applies. The Gemara, this is before the Avnei Nezer, a couple of thousand years before the Avnei Nezer. The Gemara says in the Set of Bechoros, the Avnei Nezer is only trying to give a hesbet to it. But the Gemara establishes that as far as Tumas Tevel is concerned, Bittul is not going to help you. Oh, so the Avnei Nezer says, why doesn't Bittul help you as far as Tumah Vitar is concerned? Because since you have a piece of Nevela and your Masa is on all three pieces, right? So your Masa is on the Nevela as well. You can't deny that he carried the Nevela. And if he carried the Nevela, he's Tumah. Oh. Now, how does the Avnei Nezer tune in to our discussion? So the Avnei Nezer wants to say the following. The Im Tomer, if you're going to tell me that part of his case is not sense. His case is where you add milk into the tea. So you add milk into Klisheni on the first round, which is fine, but the milk was never subject to Bishul because ain't Bishul but Klisheni. Now you're pouring from a Kli Rishon directly onto the milk, and you want to say now that the milk is butter. I mean, then Bittul Merov. So he wants to suggest the following. This is going to be like Tumas Nevela, not like Issa Nevela. Why? Because when you pour the Kli Shane from the Kli Rishon into this mixture, the Kli Rishon is now being mavashal the entire Tarovis. It's like the Masa of everything, which has both the Nevela and the Basa Shchut in it. So since included in your Masa, right? In other words, let me say it like this. I'll say it in Hebrew. Masa mityaches gamla Nevela. Right? The act of carrying relates also to the Nevela. So now comes along the Avni Nezer, and he says, by the same token, your Maisa Bishel, when you cook from a Kli Rishon, is Mityaches, it also relates to the Chalav, to the milk element. You can't say that the milk element is not there, it's there but Mitzius. I wanted to add a little bit of my own to this Avni Nezer. And that is that Bittel always operates with a Hitnagdut. There's got to be a Nigud. You know, you have Iser and you have Heter and they're fighting it out, correct? But here, as far as Bishol is concerned, there's no Hitnagdut here. In other words, everything is getting cooked, whether it's the original Mayim, right, from the first cup, which was already Kli Rishon, or the Chalak. It's like, for example, we have a principle called Heter Heter Lo Batel. Correct? What's Heter Heter Lo Batel? Let's say, what's the classical case of Heter Heter Lo Batel? Let's say, for example, in Kelayim there's no Bittel. Why isn't any Bittel? Notice the Gemara establishes in Masechta Nida that if you have one chut of Pishton in a Beged Shel Tzemer that's gigantic from here till the end of the Golos, then the din is it's Kelayim. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, it's bottle with robes. So it says hetter hetter lo bottle, meaning there's no contradiction here between tzemer and pishta. The Torah is machadish that when you combine the two, it becomes shatnez. But it's not like this is usher and this is mutter. It's hetter beheter. So I'm saying also here, so that's the chiddush of basa b'cholov, that the Torah is machadish a din of basa b'cholov, and it could be that in basa b'cholov maybe there's no din of bittel. At least logically, there shouldn't be a din of bittel.
Rabbi, is it a din of bittel or is it like shnei shvilim?
Shnei Shvilin is also very similar to what we're saying, because as long as I deal with each person, I can be mamid, ki'uk, migavra, cheskosu, when they come together.
There you can, but that's not because of Beetle. It's not you saying that it's not there. It's just that you can be.
But I'm saying that your tzushel is a beautiful tzushel, right? Well, what's the Avnei Nezer saying in the Gemara in Bechoros? He's saying that the Sugya Bechoros is telling me that here you have Hityachsut to the entire Taromis, which has within it the Nevela. Here also, you're saying, right. if I have to paskin for both Reuven and Shimon, Reuven went down this, and Shimon did this, I have to be meachis to both of them.
Right.
Here also, what I'm suggesting is, I'm just adding this little piece that he doesn't have about het to bet to lobot, meaning he's saying that since the Maisa Bishol is meachis to both the Mayim and the Chalav, therefore there's Bishol on the Chalav. You can't deny right. that. I'm just adding another point over here that if you hold that Mayim and Chalav is Heter Beheter, because I think it's Heter Beheter. There's no reason the Chalav is not a Heftu Disura. It may become a Heftu Disura after you cook it on Shabbos. That's already Maisa Shabbos. But right now it's Heter Beheter. So to say Bittel is very difficult. So I just want to say this, and then the floor is yours, Alan. Lamaskana of this whole discussion. Yeah, no, the floor will be yours with all the questions in the world. I just want to say the following before I forget to tell you this, that Lefiani is Daiti. Again, this is not the Chumra of the Week Club, but there is a very serious problem here. If you're talking about, now again, if you're a real Fromach, so what you'll do is you'll leave your sense on the black. Okay, so that'll solve all sorts of different problems of, you know, with this Tzvi of the Ochlin and that, and it'll also solve my problem here, because then it's Mamashem Bisholach and Bishol, it's in a Kli Rishon. But assuming you're what I call your regular guy, I fit myself into that, where my sense is cold. Hopefully my logic is not cold, but my T-sense is cold, or my Chalav is cold. So then, as long as I'm dealing with the Kli Sheni, that's fine. But if I'm dealing with the Kli Rishon, don't tell me that, well, it's still warm from the original Bishol, because that original Bishol is a Bishol of the Kli Sheni.
Alan, the floor is yours. Question. I thought that there would be no Bishol if the substance remains nigger.
So I don't know if it's nika or not nika, because it has a color to it, maybe. It's a dobra nita litseva, maybe that's also.
But it was water before.
But you know what? I don't know if those halachas have anything to do with bishul, meaning there are halachas of bittul that apply whenever the two things become one tyrovis.
I can't talk about it from Lundus, but it's just colored water. when you say the water in the remaining, the water has already been cooked, but the colored part of it is not. It's just colored water. I can't see a difference.
But is it made up of some sort of molecular structure? Is it
must be something? But it's water.
So
the water's already been cooked. This aspect of it has.
But not all the water's been cooked. Meaning, Joel, you can't take water that's cooked, mix it together with water that's not cooked, and put the whole mixture into a kli rishon al gabei ha'esh. I mean, I'll just be dramatic. You follow? I've got a pot that's on the fire on Shabbos. Let's say if we paskin like Hananya, that there's no issur shehiyah. Let's say, right? So I've got a pot that's hot. That's over a fire. Can I pour into a cup cooked water plus non-cooked water and throw it into the pot? That's really what we're talking about. So you're saying, well, the non-cooked water is batel. You know, it lost its identity. And I'm saying, no. In this case, bittel won't work. And if bittel doesn't work, then that element of mayim that's not mavusha, you're putting it on the fire.
What's the temperature?
No, I'm saying the temperature for the kli rishon is yad soledes.
But where are you putting the kli rishon? Where's your kli rishon?
No, I'm saying the mecham is called the kli rishon. Right? There's an electric element.
You're not putting it back into the mecham.
No, I'm taking my first cup of tea, which has shirayim in it.
Right.
Again, if it has no shirayim, if you did what Rav Moshe Feinstein told you to do, you're fine.
Wipe it out.
But I'm just saying, if you're using the lumdus that ain't bishlach habishul because there's still heat, a vestige of heat from the first bishul, that's fine as far as the mayim is concerned. But there's another element here.
What are you doing with it now?
Now you're putting it underneath the spout.
You're putting it under the spout.
Al, you would never think of doing it because you're a gavaldig.
I use a kli shlishi.
Okay, but trust me, Al, the lumdim. I'm not talking about amaratzim now.
Yeah.
I'm not addressing myself to amaratzim. I'm addressing myself to the lumdim. The lumdim will say there's no problem taking that cup as long as it's still warm and putting it under the spout.
That's right. But now you're adding something else. You're adding the sense to that.
Or you're, No, the sense.
No, but Rabbi, the sense is there from the first cup of tea.
You're adding additional sense.
No, you missed my point, Rabbi. Okay, I'm glad you made this comment. Because I see sense. I have not succeeded in communicating.
So give me the case.
Again, the case like this. I first cup of tea, okay? First cup of tea, I pour the water from the mecham into a cup. What's the status of that cup? Cliché, correct? What do I pour into the cliché? I pour sense into the cliché.
Sure.
Now I drink my tea, but there's still leftover tea. I got involved in a conversation and so forth and so on.
And cooled off, but not completely.
But it didn't completely cool.
Right.
So comes along the lamdim, and he's a big talmid chacham, and he says to me, in this case, don't be such a fromak and tell me that you have to take an empty cup and pour the hot water in, and then take your leftover shirayim tea and pour it in. He says, look, my leftover tea from the first cup is still hot.
Yeah.
Is a bishalach or bishal? I can put it right under the spout.
I would.
And if you would, Joel, I would commend you because it means you're allowed it. But now I'm coming back and I'm saying to you on second thought, I don't think it's allowed. No, I wouldn't say you're not Moritz. I think it depends on this.
Never been cooked before.
Correct. The sense has never been cooked, and even if it was cooked, it cooled off long ago. So I'm saying once it cooled off, then you have to start from scratch. So now you can do another bishul, and if it's still hot, then there's no problem. But you didn't do another bishul, because where'd you put the sense? Into a cliché. That's my problem.
So your problem is because it's the direct water is going to hit right up
exactly.
To the thing.
Well, again, if he uses your method of a cliché, cliché, fine, tovah lo bracha. But I'm telling you that out there in the Lomdishah Veld, not in the Amaratzishah Veld, they are telling you the following, there's still heat.
Well,
there's still heat in the cup, right? Because, you know, he may have gotten distracted for a few minutes till he drank the cup of tea, but it's still warm. And that's very rare. That's very common. It's still warm. Just put it under the spout. Why are you hacking me with a cliche? I don't have to. A bishalach bishal. And even balachi bishalach bishal if it's still warm.
I saw the opposite happen. Which is somebody in my house, was a guest in my house, came and took a glass of hot water. They didn't want to put anything in it. They just wanted it with the hot water. So they took that water and they put it into a clean sheet to drink it. Because they were now drinking it.
What
did you do?
Okay, let's go on.
Rabbi Provender once summarized the Jewish people in a question and answer session. He said, sum up the Jewish people, after 2,000 years, they still haven't figured out how to make a cup of tea on the shop.
All right, so I guess it's appropriate for this year. You know, Rabbi Provender's right. Okay, I'll drink you some tea to this. It's still warm. So this would be a typical case in which, at the face of it, I would be allowed to put this on Shabbos under the spout. It's a kli rishon. The answer is it's still warm from the previous cup. But I'm just saying that that's okay as far as the mayim is concerned, because the mayim was cooked in a kli rishon. But as far as the tea sense is concerned, that's a little bit of a problem, unless you apply bittul. So again, bittul is a nice possibility, but I don't think that bittul will work.
It's not even bittul because you don't have a shiur.
Well, no, bittul means whenever you have a rove. So what I'm suggesting is that in this mixture here, right here in this cup, I have mostly water. This water was already cooked, right? The water was already cooked, and it's still hot. So that's not a problem. Water that was cooked, and it's still hot, because again, this water came from a mecham, a kli rishon, and it was boiling hot, now it's still warm. I don't have any problem putting it under the spout. My only problem is that the sense was cold. I'm not talking about the case where he has on the blech. I remember in my childhood, we used to have this special kind of little kettle. You remember that? Yeah, it was, and we put the sense into it, and it was on the blech the whole Shabbos. That's gar, you know, that's for a real machmir. But I'm talking about cold sense, and the cold sense was only put into this cup when this cup is a cliche.
But the mayim and the sense now constitute a different element entirely called tea. You can't divide it into two separate elements.
That's what Dr. Joel was saying.
One
right.
is tea, and it's a ponyu kadoshas bolakam. So you have. So then the question is:
yeah, it's never hot. It's been cooked.
Hot tea or hot? This new element is hot. It still retains its heat. So can you pour?
So that's what I'm saying. I don't know about Panim Chadosh, I can't tell you. In Sheva Brachos, I would definitely agree with you. You know, we don't need, you know. But in this case.
But you can no longer separate the elements. They're mixed. Yeah, you can't see
the
water.
Is never cooked.
I understand the problem. I understand the question.
Right. Yeah. But I think Rabosai in the Gemara Bechoris, it says even if you cook all these three pieces of meat together, it would still be Matami Tumas Nevela. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, once you had a separation, like I asked Joel before, I have hot tea that was cooked, and it's still warm, and I pour into it cold water and in a cliche, and now I put it on the fire. Are you going to say, Panim Chadoshes Bolakan? I don't know. The only concept that I know here is bittul, and that's what Yavin Dezer says. He doesn't think that bittul is going to work here. All right, let's go on. Yeah, go ahead. Zev, I'm sorry.
There are a lot of sides to be made for me. Because first you don't have the shul.
Right, cases. So that's why I mentioned the name of Tzitz Eliezer. He wants to say Chatzi Shivutim in HaTorah.
Secondly, it's Irui Kli Rishon. It's not Kli Rishon. That means that's another side which is a Safek. Is it Kli Rishon?
Right.
Is it Kli Sheini?
Right. There are it's Machlokas from any time in the Rashbach about Irui Kli Rishon, with that status of Kli Rishon. I'm just saying that pashtus, it's a problem. It's not pashtus at all. All right. Let's go on to number three. I told you there's four, and then we start Melech Zriya, believe it. Okay, so number three is the Rambam that I skipped here. Let's go back to the Rambam here. And he says that he's Mavashel. Now we're not in the first case where it was already Mavushel, but rather he's Mavashel Adover She'eno Tzorech Bishel Klal. Okay, so let's say, for example, if I were to cook apples on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom, right? Comes along the Rebbe Kivega and the Tshuvas, and he says that according to the Rambam, I'm potter. Why? Because it's Dorash and Nechal Kamot Shehu Chai. You can eat it raw. And again, getting back to our discussion of before, the Rambam holds that Moleches Bisha, like any Malacha of the 39, requires a tikkun, and that works both lekula and lechumra. Lechumra, because the Rambam holds that if it only reached Kemaychel Ben Josai, then you'd be chayav for the second bishul because you made a major tikkun, a major meleches machshev. So that works lechumra. If on the other hand it was already mavushal called sarko, then by reheating it, you don't add something significant in bishul, and therefore you pot. Says the Rambam, let's extend that same logic of Ein Bishol Acher Bishol to the case of Dover Shenechal Kamot Shu Chai, just like in the case of a Dover Mavushal. It's already Mavushal, it doesn't need a second Bishol. So if the second bishul doesn't add anything significant to the first bishul, you're potur, says the Rambam. The same thing should apply in a dovish and echal kamot chai. The bishul doesn't add anything significant, and if it's not significant, it's not chai. If it's not meleches machshir. So far, so good. And the Igli Tal says that the Rishonim reject them. They hold that you're chayiv even if you cook vegetables that can be eaten raw, even if you cook fruits that can be eaten raw. And don't ask me about sushi because I never ate sushi. But he says the following. This is the language of the Igli Tal. Dvarim anachalim kimotshem chayim kugon tapuchim v'chayotzu v'hem. Here I have to skip two pages because, you know, he has two pages of footnotes. He says, v'chein. Okay, he gives other examples of food that can be eaten raw. There's something called dagim meluchim. I guess that's herring. I don't know. Is herring actually raw?
It's not cooked.
It's not cooked. Interesting. So maybe I have eaten sushi and I never knew it. Okay, I'm not a big herring man, but okay, fine. He says, v'chayotze behen, and other examples. He says, yesh bahem mishum bishul min haTorah. The yesh omrim, which is the Rambam, dinam kimoshen is bashlu, and therefore ain bo mishum bishul min haTorah, usvara rishona ikar. And he rejects the Rambam in favor of the first svar of those rishonim, that there is bishul even in something that is nechal chai. What led the Igli Tal to come to that conclusion that Svar Rishona Ikar? So for that you have to read the footnotes written by the Igli Tal himself. And after quoting the Shitas HaRambam, he says the following. He says, Ulam Kasha Tuva. He says the Rambam Shita is very difficult. Why? Sheri Mayim Mefurash b'sof perik b'met tomnin di einbo mishum bishul akum. Watch what goes on over there. The Igli Tal claims that the Rambam shita bishul on Shabbos is a grafted shita. He's taking it from a sugyan avodah zara of bishul akum, and that's where we have the famous principle that dovar shenechal kamot shu chai einbo mishum bishul akum. And the source for this is no less than a Gemara here in Shabbos in Perek Bamei Tomnim. The Amalei Rav Nachman Lidoro Avdei. So Rav Nachman instructs his servant Doro, and this has nothing to do with Shabbos. I see Limayim the Achim Kfela Armo. Bring me water that was heated up by a non-Jew. Kfela Armo. This is the heter for drinking tea on, for example, on an airplane, and those who do, and wherever else you are in the face of the earth, you know, you go to Starbucks or Facebook, and you want to drink a cup of tea. This is the Gemara of Rav Nachman with his servant Doro Avdi. So again, the answer is, why are you allowed to drink this hot water that was heated up by a guy? Says the Tal, Mishum Tzedover Shenechal Kamoshu Chai, since you could have drunk the water cold, ain bo mishum bishul akum. Now, let's take A plus B and let's generate C. According to the Rambam, that if it's nechal chai, there's no bishul on Shabbos, you're not chai mishum bishul. According to B, that if you cook water, if the guy cooks the water for you, there's no bishul akum because it's nechal chai. What should be the conclusion that we should derive from adding A plus B? If you cook water on Shabbos, you're not going to be chay. Zochti Igli Tal, Hari Mefurosh Beperka Mevi, and Beitza Daf Lamedal, the Chayav Almayim Mishum Bishul. And not only that, but Chayim Kosav Rama. He says the Rama himself says you chay for Bishul on Shabbos with regard to water. This is Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the same Perek that we're opening up. And the Rambam says that there are three categories of Afiyah. Afiyah is the same as Bishul. Maybe I could ask you just to close the door if you don't mind. He says, Echad Ofes HaPas O HaMavashal Es HaMachal. So yeah, Afiyah is baking, right? Baking. And then he has cooking. And his third category is Mayim. And he says, Hamachavis Hamayim, is Hakol Inyan Echad and he's Chayv Mishumafiyah. So the Rambam himself doesn't deny, which the Gemara says explicitly in Masech the Beitza, Daf Lamed Daled, that Yechayv Fachimu Mayim on Shabbos. So it means Melechas Pishul applies not only to solids but also to liquids. Okay, there's certain liquids, maybe I'll grant you, you can't eat raw. Maybe chelev chai, you'd have to cook it. Again, that's a different problem of any sechalis. But with regard to mayim, it's clear that you can eat it kemotru chai. The Gemara calls it nechal kemotru chai, and if there's no bishul akum. If that be the case, how can you be chai for bishul in the case of mayim? Gefaldig akasha of the Igle Tal. Brilliant, brilliant kasha. Now, to leave the Rambam, I call it Galmud, you know, out there is a lonely man of faith against this kasha. You just can't do that. It's not fair. You know, there's certain kashas on the Rambam, so you don't die from a kasha. But this is a TKO, as we call it in boxing. You know, you can't survive this kasha. Mayim would be a classical case of a Dovrish and Echal Kmo Shu Chai, and yet Mayim is one of the three pillars of Meleches Bishol, which the Rambam himself opens up his discussion about his bishul, and he has the third category, is Mechamis HaMayim. So the Igle Tal dedicates an entire page here to try to defend the Rambam. I'm going to try the best I can to present his thesis. Not that I understand what he's saying necessarily, but, you know, I'm going to try my best. He says the following. There are two categories of mayim. There's mayim for the sake of tsimaon, of thirst, to quench your thirst. And then there's mayim, he says, for the sake of ta'anuk, of enjoying the mayim. He says the following. That if you were thirsty, what kind of water would you want to drink? Boiling hot water? Again, Rabosa, you may disagree with everything he says, but at least give me... You know, give me the leash. How do you say, what's the leeway. Phrase in English? The leeway. He says the following. What kind of water would you drink if you were thirsty? Would you ask your friend for a boiling hot cup of water?
No.
On the other hand, for the sake of Tanuk, he claims, again, today is all industry of, yesterday, I don't remember now. Oh yeah, I was at a wedding last night. And they give you a bottle of water from the Swiss Alps. You know what I mean? This is a chaloshev, right? So I'm drinking it with tainug. I mean, I'm really enjoying this cold water that's coming from the Swiss Alps. But he claims that for tainug, you heat up the water. That's what it was like in Poland a century ago, and that's what my father said it was like in Lithuania when he was a child. A hazel, a glezel, a pet. You know, that's what Shabbos is all about. My Schwer, Zolzayn Gesund, who's already halfway between 90 and 100, he's on the other half of that halfway, he gets very upset if the tea is not boiling hot. That's my own Shabbos. You know, again, today we're a bunch of, we're the easy guys, but back in the day, So comes along the Igle Tal, and he says the following. You know what? When is Mayim considered a Dover Shenech al Kamot Shulchai? When you're drinking because you're thirsty. But if it's something that's for the sake of tainug, then it's eino nechal kamot shumcha. He says the following. If you take an apple, whether you eat the apple raw or you cook it, an apple is an apple is an apple. And if you can eat it raw and it's no great loss, then it's a dorosh nechal kamot shumcha. The Rambam holds his no bishul. We'll have to grant the Rambam his position, but the Rishonim disagree, but that's the Rambam shita. So an apple is an apple is an apple. That sounds like Socrates. Right, but mayim is not equal mayim equal mayim. There are two entities of mayim. Again, very difficult. And he says the following: there is an entity of mayim that's called eino nechal kamo tshuchai. That's mayim l'shem tainug. And once it's mayim l'shem tainug, again, he doesn't tell you exactly how you designate it as mayim l'shem tainug. But the fact that you want to heat up the water, I guess by definition, makes it into l'shem tainug. And you've made that determination or that designation, now you're talking about a new, he doesn't use this term, but a new chefetz shel mayim, a new category of mayim. And that category of mayim is eino nechal chai. Why? Because if you drink it chai, it might be great if you're thirsty, but if you're not thirsty and you're drinking it for tainug, then you want it hot. And very, very hot. Masha'enkein, when do we consider mayim to be nechal kamot shu chai? That's only if you drink it with Shem Tzimah. Is Memela, the Rambam is going to learn, it's a bit of a dachuk, a sort of a kimta. When the Gemara says here in Masechta Shabbos that Rav Nachman instructed Doru to go out and get hot water that was heated up by this Arma, then you were talking about thirst. And if it's thirst, it's a darish and echel kamot shulcha. And then he has another possibility that maybe the Rabbanu would make you, and they consider all of mayim, no matter what your intention is, to be nechel kamot shulcha, because there's a possibility of nechel kamot shulcha. So, for example, I don't want to eat a raw apple. Let's say most people want a cooked apple, but I'm okay with a raw apple. So for me, it becomes nechal kamot shehu chai, and therefore, if the apple is cooked, there's no bishalak. You follow me? In other words, in bishalak, we're willing to take all the possibilities into consideration. If only we can get a possibility with regard to this michael or this tavshil that it's nechal kamot shehu chai. We have many coolers in bishalak. Many coolers in bishalak. And there are many cases where in Hilchus Bishul it would be considered Bishul as far as Shabbos is concerned, but for Bishul Akum it's not Bishul Akum. There's also another condition in Bishul Akum that has to be Olel Shulchan Malachim. There are other coolers in Bishul Akum. For example, we have a principle called Moliach Harei Kuroseach or Kavush Harei Kumevushal. He says none of these principles apply in Bishul Akum. And Bishul Akum is very limited. In fact, the Shach had a tremendous kula, which the Ramah didn't want to accept, but, I mean, the Ramah was before the Shach, but I mean, the Shach had a kula about a Shifcha, a Meshareses, that maybe that's not Bishul Akum, because Bishul Akum is only because of Chiba and Chasnus, and it's not a Dovah Shel Chiba, because she's working and getting paid for it. Okay, I'm not saying whether we should rely on the Shach, or we shouldn't rely on the Shach. You'll have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. It's a very relevant question. Especially, it gets more and more relevant as the clock ticks, because more and more people are hiring non-Jewish help and Filipinos and Dustin Yentz, and you want to know about Bishul Akum. So Lamaisa, he wants to say the following, that in Hilchus Shabbos, if you want to heat up your water for the sake of Tainug, then it becomes a Dovah She'eino Nechal Kamot Shehu Chai, and you're chayav for heating up water. So I wanted to add one little point over here. As radical as it sounds to say that you're chayav not for bishul, because again, bishul, the Rambam says, means you made a constructive change in the very structure of the object. Here you're only heating it up. But nevertheless, take a look at the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, Echad ha'ofe es apas, Perek Tes Haloch Aleph, that we just read, ha'ofe es apas, or ha'mavashel es ha'machol. So if you ask me, why did the Rambam switch from Ofet to Mavash? The answer is Pashut. The first case is the case of pas that goes into the oven. The second case is the case of Tapshul that goes on the fire, the pot on the fire. And then he writes, O HaMachamen Es HaMayim. What would you have anticipated? The Rambam should have said. HaMavashul Es HaMayim. Yes, there's no Afiyah in Mayim, but there should be Bishul in Mayim. The answer is the Rambam was very careful. He wants you to know that Mayim is not subject to Bishul. In the laws of Bishul, this would not qualify. You don't make any structural, anatomical, molecular change in the Mayim. Maybe you do, I don't know. But the Rabbi is saying, that's not Bishul. Bishul is a permanent change in the object. You can never undo Bishul. Once it's Mavushal, biz Mashiach, right? But here, this is not Bishul in the case of Mayim. You can reverse the process if it cools off. So Rambam calls it Mechamim Es HaMayim. In other words, the Rambam learned the Sugyan Beitza that says that you chayav for Mayim on Shabbos. And the Rambam said, that's not Bishul, how can you be chayav? And the Rambam answers that it's called Mechamim Es HaMayim. So the Yidlaital asks, but still it's a Dovah Shenechal Mo'el Shehu Chai. So the answer is that principle, that condition of Nechal Kmo'el Shehu Chai, that applies in Tavshilim. So you have fruits and vegetables that could be eaten raw, says Rabbi Kivay, according to Rambam, you're not going to be chayav for cooking them. That's in Hilchus Bishul. But in Mayim, there's a whole new machayev in Mayim. What's the new category of chayav Mayim? Is machamen. It's machamen. You want it l'shem tainug, says the Glital. That's already considered eino nech al kamot shuhucha. Fascinating discussion about meleches. Leches Bish.
Do all the Achronim hold that, there's a comparison between the Bishul Akum and the Chetzer
no,
of the Rambam?
No, they reject the whole thing. They hold that you're chayav for cooking carrots on Shabbos. You cook a carrot on Shabbos, you're chayav. I like a raw carrot, you like a cooked carrot.
The Rambam says,
and I'm chayav for cooking. Yeah,
but the Rambam argues that's mutter.
Oh, not mutter, but potter. I mean, I don't want to say mutter. You know, that's a little bit
too heavy. The note here says mutter.
Ah, oh, then I didn't see. Rabbi Kivega says potter of a loss. I don't know.
Say,
I don't know where he got
whatever it is.
Okay, whatever it is, it's not relevant to our discussion right now. He's not chayav, and all the Rishonim say pe'echa yachayav. You wanted to cook it. You've changed it. You've cooked it. It's a different cooked object. It's cooked carrots. I don't know, do rabbits eat cooked carrots? No, my rabbit doesn't eat a cooked carrot. Give him a raw carrot, he'll eat it. So comes along the Gital and he says, Ha'ikar kisvar rishonu, and he rejects the Rama. So the question is why? So he himself explains, because according to the Rama, I don't understand Mayim. Why are you chayef for Bishul Mayim according to the Rama? The Rama says that it's a dovash nechal kmoshu chayin achayev. And yet the Gemara says, Mefurish, that Mayim is a dovash nechal kushachay. That's a Gemara in Shabbos. And that Yechai from Bishul and Mayim, that's a Gemara in Beitza. So, and the Rambam himself admits that Yechai from Bishul Mayim. Teretz is that Mayim is different than everything else because Mayim fits under two categories. And there's one category of Mayim which is Nechal Dafka for the sake of Tzimaon. And there's another Mayim that is Nechal Dafka Shalokimo Kimochihi Chai, but rather Mavushal. And that's L'shem time. And therefore, Mayim has its own rules and regulations. We try to add a little bit of an extra nofach here. That in the case of Mayim, the Rambam says you're not chayav for bishul, you're chayav for chimur Mayim. That chimur Mayim is so significant, and it's such a meleches tikkun. And now we could add the iglital because that's the timing when he wants to drink a hot glazel a day. That therefore you're chayav for that malach, and it's a new malach. Again, it's all part of bishul. If the Rambam had broken up Bishul Afia into avos, many avos, then you would have three different avos. You would have Afia, Bishul, and Chimur Mayim. That would be the third av. But the Rambam says they're all so similar that they belong to one av. It's like Notea and Zorea that we spoke about. It's one av. Okay, Rambam, so that was number three. I'm trying to keep a count for today so I know what. I'm up to number four.
Right. Because there's no tikkun. I'm trying to understand the spur of the Rambam.
Yeah, because it's not a significant tikkun. You could have eaten it raw. Well, what did you gain by it?
You know.
It could be. I'm just saying
that. Again, I like cooked carrots, so for me it's a big tikkun, but the Rambam's saying no.
There's a time water.
You could eat it raw, and even I could eat it raw. You
know? Water was dangerous back then. It had to be cooked.
Okay, that's an interesting spur, Dr. Joel. You're right. There may be an element here for a fuah, that maybe that's a significant change. But the Rambam doesn't indicate anything about refuah here. He was a pretty good doctor in his time. I don't know if he knew what we knew today. Now it's becoming stylish to learn the Rambam's medical works. And there's a whole crew of people who are following his diet, you know, the Rambam's diet. So all of a sudden pomegranate juice went up in price. And I'm just kidding.
Yeah. The Rambam had several iterations when he went through, like with tomato soup and stuff like that. Where he went down, he said, you know, and onions, you never eat them raw, there's no such thing as eating them raw. And he found out people eat them raw, so it changed that law.
Here in Israel they have red onions, you know, only get them raw. Yeah. And they mix it into every salad.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days nobody ate that anything raw.
Right. So now we want to discuss what I call number four. Here's the case. You cooked food, and it reached Kimaichel Ben Joseph. So you're chayav. But what happens if you put the pot on the fire on Shabbos, and it only reaches Kimaichel Ben Joseph after Shabbos? So when did the bishul take place? After Shabbos. So what would you say in such a case? It's just a knee-jerk response.
Okay,
right, you're already, you know, whenever I ask this question, you always, it can't be that, otherwise my person wouldn't ask the question. the Pashup Shah, you know, would be important for such a thing. The Bishul took place after Shabbos. Comes along the Rashash, on our mission at the beginning of the Malachas of Kal Gadol, Ayin Gimel, and he says, Yechayev. And he proves it from the following analogy. Melechas Oreah. He says that it's Oreah, there's no possibility of Klita Vehashrosh until after Shabbos, and yet Yechayev. Hu Adin, Hu Atam, in the case of Bishol. There could be a possibility of Bishol on Shabbos if you cook it an hour before Shabbos, but if you cooked it the last 5 minutes before Shabbos, you're still going to be Chayev. It's no different, it's not inferior to Zoreah.
How does he know that you can compare?
The Misnagdim, and there's a whole crew of Misnagdim who got up to fight against this, you know, the rebellion, I call it the rebellion against the Rashash. They say that there's no tzushtel between Zuriya and Bishol.
Yeah, it's a special.
Why? Because Zuriya, the Machayev, is Hanochas Hazera B'tocha Karka. You're not Chayev for the Klita. The Klita takes place Me'ela. That's not your business. You're Chayev for setting up a Zuriya that has the potential of Klita Vashrosh. Masha'en came in the case of Bishol, you're Chayev for Bishol. And where was the Bishol? After Shabbos, how can you be chayv?
He's talking about he put the machal ben dorsai before Shabbos, and it was
No. He puts raw food on the fire a half hour before Shabbos. Before Shabbos ends. It'll only cook kemaychal ben dorsai after Shabbat.
So that what you said about yishok mishum chitzav is
wrong. Oh, that's an interesting point. I didn't prepare that for today, but no, Zev is pointing out that maybe in the case of Zoreah, the Moloch by definition happens May Elov. Right? You don't really control in any sense the Hashrosha that takes place later. So therefore you have to be Chai for something. What are you Chai for? It's the first on the list of Lamentes Moloch. It must be that you're Chai for putting the Zerah down. Mashenke, in the case of Bishol, we can apply the principle of Isho Mishum Chitzah. And maybe the, you know, it's like Malechus Chorish that we once discussed. I don't know if you were here, that the animal is working for me, so to speak. The Ramban calls it a Kli B'yad HaYotzer. Maybe here also the baking process is somehow is somehow part of my action because of Isho Mishum Chitzov. See, the problem with that, Zev, is that Isho Mishum Chitzov really means when there's a force, not just a Hanocha. Are you with me on this? In other words, when I a yores achetz, so the urea itself, I'll be physics, you know, puts a certain energy force into the chetz, then you could apply the principle of isho mishum chitzah. The question is, if I just place something, I didn't even light the fire, for example, we're going to soon see that yichayv ben bishul, even if somebody else lights the fire. I don't know how.
But isho mishum chitzav just really means, the way I understood it, was that barring any third party interference, there's no way that this isn't going to happen. This is going to happen.
Even in the case of Anocha?
It's going to happen.
I agree that it's going to happen, but do you have any proof that isho mishum chitzav applies in the case of Hanocha?
I don't see a reason to.
Isho mishum chitzav classically is when you madlik es ha'esh.
You did a maisa that essentially means that this has to happen. It's like it's the same thing with the machines. It's what we spoke about last week about the machines.
Right.
The machines, you didn't light a fire.
But you put an energy force.
You did a pula. Why are you defining it as energy?
In other words,
you did a pula that is going to lead to a definitive outcome. So the truth is, I'll tell you, Gedalia,
I don't want to debate this with you. You really have to look up at a sugya called Avno Sakino Masoshi Nichon Barosh Gadol. And I don't remember what the final maskon is, whether you can apply Rabbi Yochanan's Isha Mishum Chitzov, you can't, it's on Bava Kamadav Chav Gimel, at least I can tell you where to find it. And you know, that's a little different than lighting a fire. There you know, the wind is there, and you just placed it in the way of the wind. I don't know if Isho Mishum Chitzav applies that. Again, I'm not prepared for that. Zev just mentioned it, what am I interested in before I lose my trend of thought? Yeah. My interest is the following. The Sfas Emes has a Raya Brura to the Rashash. And again, that would mean that we could save the day for the Rashash against all the opponents. I don't want to use a pun from Isho Mishum Chitzav, but all the slings and arrows that were shot against the Rashash over the course of history. What's his raya? Listen to this fascinating raya. The Gemara is on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We've mentioned it on many, many occasions. The Gemara says the following: Boi Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. This was the suffix of not our prime minister. Okay, son of Abaye, and he said the following: Hidbik Pas B'Tanur. He still is the prime minister, right? I mean, did I miss? Because I didn't see today's news. You know, I never know from one day to the other what the chazaka of Ein Kodesh.
What happened 5 minutes?
Yeah, before you never know. But anyway, assuming I happen to like the guy, but you know, my son thinks he should resign, so I have my clickers here between him and me and my son. Anyway, so it says the following: Amar Rav Bibi, boy Rav Bibi. Okay, this Rav Bibi's son. Hidik pas b'tanur. So Reuven put the dough into the oven. Is he tiru lo lirdosa kodem sheyavali dechiyuv chatos olo he tiru? We have a principle called Ridias Hapas, which is in the Gemara's time, and maybe even today, it's still considered a very fancy kind of thing. You know, it's a chachma which is prohibited on Shabbos. And let's allow a violation of a lower echelon Isur. Let's call it an Isur Rabbanan for the sake of saving him. Kodem sheyavo lidei chiyuv chatos to a violation of a malacha d'oraisa v'afi. If he leaves the oven, if he leaves the dough in the oven, it's going to cook. It's going to bake. So the Gemara goes on to say that. What do you mean? He tiru lo. He's going to take it out. He's not interested in your derabbanan. You know, he's about to get killed for tzkila. You know, let's say the eid of an asra. You know, so the Gemara says no. The question of Rabbi was a different question. He tiru lachirim liradoso olo he tiru lachirim raboso. So Shimon now wants to save his buddy Reuven from a chiyuv chatos. So Shimon is asking his rabbi, can I quickly be rode in the past before Kodem Sheyavo Lidei Chiyuv Chatos? And the Gemara explains the suffix of Rabbi, V'chi Omrim Lo La'odom Chatei B'Shvil Shetizke Chaver. Do we tell Shimon to violate an Isur on Shabbos in order to save his friend from an Isur Shabbos? There's a long Tosfos here. Tosfos proves from many sugyos in Shas that for sure we would allow someone to do such a thing. But here, maybe it was Mazid, he has different Teirutzim, and therefore we would not do so.
And he himself?
Oh, so what about he himself? So Tosfos wants to know, what was the Hava mean in the Gemara? The Gemara had the original version of Rabbi Bar Abaye was that he was asking, can I be rode to the pass? And Tosfos has a lot of problems with this. What do you mean he's asking? What are you going to tell him? Tell him it's awesome. Well, what, he's going to listen to you? He's his life is on the line. Again, if he's a real Framak, so he'll, is Yahari Bal Yamar. He'll say, well, I can't violate the Chachamim's Isa Radia, and I have to die for it. You know, but that's not what we're talking about. So Tosfos says an unbelievable chiddush here. Tosfos says that in this case, since we're telling him not to be rode to the pass, he's ones rachmona patri. He's listening to the chachamim, and they told him, they instructed him not to be rode to the pass. He himself would have what? Would have gladly jumped to be rode to the pass. But Vibal, since the Chacham told him not to do it, his hands are tied, he's an onus. And therefore there's never an issue of his chiyuv, skilo, let's say in the case of Mazin, and he's doing tshuva now, and so forth and so on. So again, the guy's about tshuva. And we're telling him not to be rode to the pas. So Tosfos says, you're being very naive here. He's a nice Baal Tshuva, and we give him credit now that he wants to reverse his decision to bake on Shabbos. But he's not going to listen to you. He's got to save his life. He was amazing. There are two Eidim in Asra, so for sure he's going to be rolled to the pass. The Tosfos says, no, we're going to tell him the following. If you listen to what we say, and you're not rolled to the pass, then you won't be chayiv. Why? So Tosfos has to find some mechanism. Why won't he be chayiv? He put it in, Eidim Asra, it baked.
It's baking.
So the answer is that he's onus. Because he's listening to the Chachamim and they prohibit him from taking it out, and onus rachmona patri. comes along Sfasemes, and he says, I don't understand this Tosfos. It makes no sense. We have a principle, he says, called Chiloso v'pshia v'sofa bonus chai. There's one day that says, Potter, but we pass in chai. The man was a posher. He put a pas into the oven. B'mezid basra gemura. And now you're telling me that he's anus because he can't take the pas out of the oven. That's going to mitigate his chiyuv? Says the whatchamacallit as far as emes. No, he's already chayav. Why is he chayav? Because as we saw in the Rashash, he's chayav for putting the dough into the oven.
That's mishum chitzav.
Again, leave out Eishav Mishum Chitzov. He's chayav because, just like in the case of Zriya, what are you chayav for? Hanochas hazera betocha karka. In the case of Bishul, you're chayav for hanochas akter al gabay Eishav. In the case of Afiyah, fachnosas apas l'tocha tanur. That's why you're chayav. Gandiv, you're chayav. Now you can do something to undermine and neutralize your chiyuv. So he was honest. He was on his way to take the pas out of the oven. He tripped and he fell. Right? This kalav posher. Okay? The Chachamim told him, Asul l'rados is a pas. So he's on. Therefore he's not going to be chayiv. What is Tosfos talking about? You see from the and then he has to reinterpret the Tosfos. We'll get to that. But you see from the Sfasemes that he understood that the whole machayiv is putting the dough into the oven. That's where you chayav. At some point, it's got to bake. If we upset the process and arrest the process before it bakes, then he's not chayav. But it can bake whenever it bakes. And he's chayav already for the putting the dough into the oven. And even if it bakes through no active participation of his own, and he was an anus, he couldn't get it out of the oven on time, that we feel badly for you. You know, my heart goes out for you, but you're a prosher. You did the Maisa Machayev.
And that's your Chayev Misa for that?
And then your Chayev Misa. That's not the Sfasem.
Even if it doesn't end up being baked.
No, that far we're not going. Wait
so
a minute.
So why?
Rabosa.
He didn't do anything then.
Oh, okay. So now we say the following. Look, there are two things, two elements here in every Malach, and Bishol is a wonderful example. There's the Maisa Machayev for which you're Chayev, and then the conditions that have to take place. And if those conditions, realize themselves, then you're going to be Chayev. If they don't realize themselves, but that's only a condition. That's not the Machayev. So according to the Rashash and the Sfasemes, what's the Machayev for which you're Chayev?
Sticking in the oven.
Putting it into the oven. There's another tie. That sticking in the oven has to come to what? To Afiyah, correct, to Bishul. If it doesn't come to Afiyah, then okay, you got lucky. Which I say, you know, God was on your side. You did a Maisa Machayev, but it never came to fruition. You know, you tried to kill someone, but at the last minute, I don't know, Superman came and he stood in front of the bullet and he took the bullet. So you're not Chayev. So why? Because nobody died.
So what about the other way around? Suppose somebody forced you to put the dough into the oven.
So then for sure you're not
coming. No, wait a minute. And then he was chased away and you refused to take it out.
No, again, Rabosai, we're going now with the Sfasemis. You want to say a different shot, that's fine.
No, I'm just saying.
The Sfasemis is telling us that what's the Machayev? In other words, for what are you Chayev Skila on Shabbos? What did you have to do? And the answer is Hachnosas Apas L'Tocha Tanur. You're Chayev for that. There's a condition that you'll only be chayav if and when the dough bakes. If you got lucky and the dough didn't bake, then garnish kasher, nothing happened here, and you're potter. But if something will happen, says Rashash, when could that happen for our part? On Motzi Shabbos. The condition could be fulfilled after Shabbos. It doesn't have to be fulfilled on Shabbos. When you need a Maisa Machayev, if the Bishul or the Afiyah itself would be part of the Machayev, that would have to take place when? On Shabbos. And that's the sheet of all those who disagree with the Rashash. They all maintain, no, the Machayev is the Bishul. Not like the case of Zriya, where the Machayev is just putting it in a place where it could come to Ashrosha. It has the potential to come to Ashrosha. No, that's not Bishul. Bishul is your Chayev for the Bishul. If you're Chayev for the Bishul, when does it have to take place, Rav Osai? On Shabbos. But if you hold like the Rashash, the Rashash holds that you're chayef not for the bishul, but you're chayef for the achnosas apas l'tocha tanur. The bishul is only a tnai. When can that tnai be fulfilled? After Shabbos. Comes along the Sfasemes, and he adds another piece. He says, therefore, if you were onus on Rediyas apas, because the Chacham told you not to do it, that doesn't mean that you're not chayev. You're chayev for the mechayev of haknos apas. Okay, you could have saved yourself by being mesalek the afir, by terminating the afir, but you were honest. So that doesn't mean that you're part. Tosis, on the other hand, says that if you were honest on rediyas apas, then the bishul, the afir itself, is not related to you, and therefore you're not chayev. It's the vice tos we see from Tosis, that Tosis held that what? The afir is an integral part of the chiyuv itself. So we now have a beautiful chakira in the essence of melechas afir bishul. And it's a very fundamental chakira. And nechluk ubazeh gedoli achronim. Is it that you're chayav for putting it in? What happens, happens. If you get lucky, you get lucky and your friend bailed you out, or whatever happened, the electricity went out, I don't know. That's a different story. But the bishul, the afi itself, is only a tanai. That's not what you're chayav for. Or do we say no? The afi itself is an integral part of the machayav. And now we have two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is what happens if the afiyah took place after Shabbos, and the second nafkamina is what happens if he was anus on the rediyas apas.
During Shabbat.
The fact that the Gemara has the question, can he take it out, proves that it's not just putting it in.
No, but it, according to the Rashash, it means that there's a tanai. So he wants to make sure that tanai never realizes itself. How? By taking it out before it bakes. That's how the Rashash learns. And the other Rishonim, or the other Achronim, I should say, they learned it differently. They say, why is it that taking it out will save him from the Chatos? Because he was never Chayiv to begin with. The Chiyuv is made up of A plus B, of two variables. You've got to have the Hachnasa, and you have the Afiyah. Therefore, A, the Afiyah has to take place on Shabbos, and therefore B, if Lu Yitzur, he's trying to get rid of it, take it out of the oven before the Afiyah, and he was honest, it's off then. He's honest on the very
much. I if I put something in the oven that's not on. It's nothing, right? What happens if it comes on later?
So I put it in like a machine or something, turns it on, or
all the ovens work.
Because if a Jew turns on the oven, the Jew is going to be high. Let's say it goes on automatically somehow.
It's grandma.
I don't even know if it's grandma. Grama requires some sort of maisa machayev. You know, the fact that he puts it into an empty oven. I don't know if that's called grama.
So I put it in, and then it goes on automatically 10 hours later.
You mean he set the clock in such a way that he knows it's going to go on? So maybe then Zev is right. Maybe it's a kind of a grama. I don't know. Yeah. I would say that's not grama.
It's like setting up a dishwasher during Shabbat.
Yeah, there are many other issues, but I'm just saying, as far as Malefes, I don't know if it's called Libun or whatever it might come into.
You mentioned that Tchilato b'mezik, for the honest Chayav, but that's in Mezikin. We actually copy paste Mezikin to.
I'll tell you,
Shabbat.
It's not limited to Mezikin. Only to Nezikin. I'll give you other examples way beyond Nezikin. Let's say, for example, again, I don't know what time is it. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of time. Oh, I want to start Zriya if we can, but just Akadoma. There's a parsha in Bahar of what's called Batei Arichom, which means that if I sell you a piece of property in a walled city, and there's almost an entire sect on this, so don't ask me questions, you know, what's considered a walled city and what's considered a sale and so forth. But theoretically, in abstract. So the halacha is that I get up to 12 months as the seller to be poed to the field. And that means that I can force the buyer to return the field to me and just throw the money into his lap. Like it or not. That's the Torah gave me that ability to do so. So there's a Shitas Ha'aguda. The Aguda was a late Rishon, but a Rishon. And he's quoted at the beginning of Masechta Gittin. And the Aguda says that if he postponed his Pediyah until the very last minute, And the last minute, when the Torah still gives him an opportunity to be poda, to redeem his field, he was anus. Now the clock struck 12. He can no longer be poda his field. He cannot claim that, well, at the last minute I was an anus. Because onus b'yom achron is trilosim v'pshia v'sof bonus.
That's like nizikin, isn't it?
I don't know if it's like nizikin.
I'm just saying. Monetary
you can go
issue.
Again, Zev, if you want, I'll write you a whole paper on this. And I'm going to try to prove to you that this is a principle in Kol HaTorah Kulo. That a person can't do something v'pshia and then say, well, I was an onus because I couldn't undo what I did. That's your tough luck. If you get lucky, Bezer Hashem, you know, if you write the, you say the right people to him, then maybe at the end of the day, you know, a miracle happened and it didn't realize itself. But don't tell me that I tried to undo what I did and reverse the what I said in motion and I was an honest. That doesn't cut the mustard.
Same thing. I'm going to give you a get in a year, and I'm on the other side of the river.
Right, Paskamah. But that's why the Agud is there at the beginning of Gitna, the base of the base, the famous sugya of Poska Mavra, right? Chazuda Soy, he yells. He's on the other side of the river. Chazuda Soy, I love this woman. I want to remarry her. I don't want to be divorced from her. He's a Kayan, the poor guy.
Too late.
Too late. He waited too late. That's a Shita Sagud.
I don't understand the Shita of the Rashash or the Svatam, just in terms of the concept with the Tanai, because you put the
dog
in the oven, you're only chayiv, you're not really chayiv now. You're only chayiv now if it ends up being nefa.
Right.
So you're not chayiv when I put it in. It only comes back to that time. So the truth is there are two parts. There really are two parts. One is putting it in, and the other is the akfia. So on the putting it in, there was a definite pshia there.
Right.
But on the nefa, which is really a separate concept than putting it in,
right,
there is a real onus. So how come
he's not Rashash, and he says that's only a tnai.
So what if it's only a tnai?
So it's like a tnai. A man gives a get to his wife, al tnai im lo bas.
Yeah.
And he's onus. At the last minute he's onus. Is the get is chal. The tnai was fulfilled. The oven, the dough baked. If the dough bakes, then you're chayef for that. You're learning the other way, the way the other Achronim learn, and they're saying that the baking itself is the essence of the Malacha. The baking is not just some sort of external tanai. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you can hear very well those who are the misnagdim of the Rashash, because what is Afia? What is Bishul? It's the Afia. That's what the Torah doesn't want. Actually, the Torah doesn't want Afia on Shabbos.
That's actually
so you can tell me, well, the Afia took place on Motzi Shabbos Yischai. That's very... You know, it's disconcerting. You know, we're uncomfortable with the Rashash. But the Rashash is saying that I have a takdim, and my precedent is the case of Zoreah. Again, they all say, well, there's no tushtel. You know, Zoreah, Yechayev, just for putting it in, and whatever happens, happens later on. But don't tell me that about Afia. Afia means that you are considered the Ofer. And when you consider the Ofer, when I take A and B, and I combine them together. That has to happen on Shabbos. And if I'm honest for the last part, then I'm not... So the Chiyuv is not marked.
What happens the reverse? So in the... In the reverse, what happens?
But Gedalia, do you agree with me in the following? That if you have a law in Hilchos Tanoim, okay, in general, if a person is an anus at the end of a Tanai, that the chalos is chal. Why? What's the lumbus of it? This is what the Gemara calls in Ksubis Tanai Milsachrita. You remember that? On Daf Yutes or wherever it is. And the Gemara is saying that a Tanai is something extraneous. What does it mean? It's an act of beetle. Comes along Rashash, and he says that taking the pas out of the oven is an act of bitul. You are basically undoing your chiyuv, but the chiyuv is there. Now you're onus on a bitul? If you're onus on a bitul, you're chayiv. That's like an onus on a tanas.
So they would have different opinions in the reverse case where you put it in Friday, and it was nefa on Shabbos. Then they should be holding the reverse. Is that correct?
No, because again, everybody agrees that the active element in Afia is putting it into the oven. Nobody denies that, you know, that
it's
the...
It's done beheter.
So therefore it's done beheter. Nobody would say that you're chayv in that case. He put it on Erev Shabbos. Again, you know, there's an Iser of Shehiyah, you know, that's the Rabbanon. But as far as the rice is concerned, no one would dream that you're
nobody says it's really both. That you need both.
Right, so all the Akronim who disagree with the Rashash would say that you need both, and therefore both have to take place on Shabbos, and if you're honest on one of them, even though it took place on Shabbos, you're part of
it. I'm thinking about the dishwasher. For those who would matter a dishwasher on the Shabbos clock. Okay, so the matzah that you're doing on the Shabbos clock is no problem. But once you put the food, or more so the liquids, in your mavashel, it's mavashel as well.
It's mavashel the water.
That's right, mavashel the water. Forget it. So you can argue with the solid food ain't the shachar bishul.
Yeah, no,
but the water.
It's the old water, it heats its own water up. That's how it works. Most mavashels work that way.
So that you're doing by the machine, huh?
Well, but
here you're putting the launch that you did all beforehand, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But here I'm putting the dishes and the glasses in the machine on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And 2 hours later, it's going to come on.
Yeah. So what are the dishes? So what did I do with the dishes?
So I'm going to be mavashil the shirayim in the.
If there's shirayim on there.
They're always shirayim on there.
It's also
cold. Right, you wash fat.
You don't need the dishwasher.
Yeah. Okay, Rabosa, we have a few more minutes.
Everybody agrees with the mechanism that we're talking about, the masa and the tznai, that's the mechanism that operates?
Well, there is a shita that says the loss of the pshir is so far on his pot. So you have to know, for that you have to really learn about metzia very carefully and see what that means. I would say fakir, that's when the zikin is the exception to the rule. That's the man the who says sofo bionis potter, that's an zikin halach. So you have the case, for example, he threw a kli off the roof, and then he runs down and he tries to catch the kli and he trips on his way down, you know. So maybe you could say there that he never really was a deliberate mazik. You know, he wasn't a full fledged mazik. You know, that's halacha in mazik. If somebody shoots an arrow, chas v'shalom, at a person to kill them, and then he decides somehow, I don't know, whatever the metzias is, he's going to run over and catch the arrow before it hits its target. He's chayav for that. Because there's something called bitul ma'isav. In bitul ma'isav, there's no din of onus. There's an onus in a ma'isav, but you can't be mavatal a ma'isav through onus and say, well, I was mavatal a ma'isav. What do you mean you were mavatal? You aren't mavatal a ma'isav. You tried to, but, you know, we'll give you an A for effort, but that's not...
It's not the bitul that bothers me as much as we're saying that whether the actual mice avera started here or started when it actually happened.
Or whether it started and ended or it starts and ends.
That's right,
you know,
exactly.
If you're saying it starts and ends, then you're not being mevatel the mice. You're being mevatel the mechayev, because the mechayev is afir. But the Rashash understood that the afir is only a tnai, and therefore if you want to be mevatel the afir, don't tell me you were honest, because there's no such thing as honest on a bittel or a siluk of a mice.
So I have a question. According to the Rashash, the food would have the Hagdara of the Maisa Shabbos. According to those who were cholik on him, would the food still have the Hagdara of Maisa Shabbos?
When it cooked after Shabbos? So you're saying it was anus, which
it cooked after Shabbos?
No. So it's gone. It's gone.
It's gone. So it's not. It's Patra Balasur. It's Kamish Mutter.
Yeah. No. You mean on a Drabbana? One second.
This has a real nafka.
You're talking about Maisa Shabbos on an Issa Drabbanan. Just 1 second. Maisa Shabbos on an Iser Derabbanan. It depends whether it's a Gzera or a Moloch. Just 1 second. Right. Let's just think. You know what? I'd have to. This would require me, which I don't have the time now, because I just want to finish the Shia, if it's okay with the Olam. So write me an email. But you know that requires Chazrin Iva a lot of what we discussed in the Tuesday Thursday slot. Is that it? Did I get that right? When did we discuss Rav Schechter's piece on Xeris and Malachus? That was on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Who remembers anymore?
Yeah, Tuesdays.
By the way, Rav Osa, not for now, because I do want to finish the Shia, but I want to ask you about the possibility after Pesach of learning Malachus Otsa. which I don't know, it's a long project, but it's a beautiful project, and maybe we'll just pick it up and then Kamzel will try something new, I don't know. But if we do Hotzah, the question is, can I get a group of people who'd be willing to do it four times a week? What I'll try to do is I'll try to set it up that each year is a separate unit, because that I'm committed to. But this business of hopping around, you know what I'm saying, with the Mondays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't even remember what day of the week we're in. I certainly don't remember what we did last week. It's driving me a bit of sugar. And Hotzah, which is eight black Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, is a beautiful limud because it's a self-contained, and with every sugya you get another little piece of a puzzle. Okay, so anyway, just I want to make sure I mention that.
That's right.
Okay, I want to talk to you about cliche. We have a principle: cliche ainu mavasha. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, this is Simon Shin Yud Ches, which is for our boys here, it's the most complicated and challenging Simon in all Hilchos Shabbos that defines Bishul. He says, Kli Rishon, Afil Liachar Shev Viruhu Meha Eish, Melgabi Eish, Mevasha, Kolzman Sheyad Solibus. So Kli Rishon means it was on the fire at one point, it's no longer on the fire, but it's still Yad Solibus. Okay.
What's the for you reading from?
This is Simon Shin Yud Ches. It's page 272, if that helps you.
Yes.
On the top line. Okay. Now, what happens in the case of a cliche? If you don't know otherwise, in other words, if you take the simple premise, we have a principle, it's in many, many sugyas in Shas, and in Bishul it appears in Perikira, that says, Klisheni Eino Mavash. It's a famous case where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi goes into Beis HaMerchatz, and he wants to heat up the oil in the Beis HaMerchatz by submerging it into the hot water of the Merchatz, and he tells his Heisbacher, he tells him, Tol B'Klisheni. That if you pick up the water first, it becomes a klisheni, and then you could heat up your oil in the klisheni. The Gemara derives a whole bunch of conclusions from that story, namely that there is bishul in shemen, and hefsheru zui bishulo, but klisheni eino mevash. Comes along the Mechaber, and he speaks about tavlin. Now, what's the source of this discussion about tavlin, certain kinds of spices and herbs and so forth and so on? The source of this is a sugya in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamentes, and the Gemara talks about Dag Hamaluach and Dag Shalaspinu, and these are certain types of fish. I think we called it once a Spanish mackerel or something like that. I don't know. You have to look in the English translation. And it cooks even in a cliche.
Kali Bishul.
Exactly. Kali Abishul. So on this issue of Kali Abishul, there are many different parts and Se'ifim in the Shulchan Aruch where he discusses this. I mentioned Se'if Tes with regard to Tavlin. There's also a discussion much later in the Siman.
Yud is Tavlin.
And Yud is Tavlin, Asulitain Tavlin. And then we have in Sif Yud Gimel, we have other cases of a klisheni. And basically, this is the issue of Kalei Abishul. Now, the Chazon Ish, and my Rebbe also, I don't know if they knew about one another's approach, but they were very, very makil on cliche. And they were not worried about Kali Abishul. The Rav used to tell us that his grandfather, Reb Chaim, would cook tea leaves in a cliche. He wasn't worried about a cliche. The question that I want to ask you is the following. When we say klisheni einu mevashel, is it A or B? A means that's the way the halach operates. It's a, call it gzeiras hakosef for now. The Torah says that bishul is in a kli rishon, not in a klisheni. Or do we say no? That klisheni einu mevashel is a mitzius, so to speak. What do I mean it's a mitzius? What happens is, when you transfer the hot water from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni, it cools off. Now, why does it cool off? That's also an issue, which I didn't prepare for today. Some say it cools off because it hits the air on its way down. Others say it cools off because of a principle called Dofnei HaKdera Makaros, that the walls of the Kli Sheni are Makaros. So, for example, and this was brought up also at the time of the Sfas Emes, there's something which, again, you and I think it's been here for thousands of years, but it's really a modern invention, and that is a thermos. Now, the whole idea of a thermos is it maintains the heat. So there's a mechanism in the thermos which allows you to take hot water from a Kli Rishon, pour it into the thermos, and it will remain boiling hot for hours. I don't know how many hours, don't ask me. You know, it'll, at least it'll, you know, if you take it for lunch, you know, and when you leave the house at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's still hot when you get to lunchtime at 1 p.m., you know, and it's steaming hot. It's Mamashiyad Soletis. So if I claim that Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, and that's the way it goes, that's not, the Torah doesn't recognize Bishul and Klisheni, then I can put whatever I want into the thermos, or pour the thermos onto anything. It's Klisheni and Mevashel. But if I say that Klisheni and Mevashel is predicated on Dofnei Akli Makaros, means some sort of process by which the water cools off and therefore doesn't have the capacity to heat, then you're fooling yourself. Take a thermometer, put it inside the water, whether it's in the Kli Rishon or it's in the thermos, and you'll find that it's just as hot. And this became an issue back in the time of the Sfas Emes and other Achronim with regard to thermos. Shall we be machmir and assume that in this case we say Kli Sheni Yochel Levashel? And those who were machmir, the machmirim, quoted this sugya of Kaliyah Bishul. What's going on in Kaliyah Bishul? You're saying that there's something about this food stuff, you know, this kind of a soft fish, that even in klisheni you could be mevashel it. And therefore, you see that the whole principle of klisheni is rather than some sort of absolute rule that knows no exception, it really depends upon whether there will be bishul or not. And in this case, a klisheni has the capacity, despite the fact that it's colder than a klisheni, to cook this mackerel, you know, this dag ha'ispinim. The counter argument was no, that Kaliyah Bishul is a different halacha. Kaliyah Bishul is a halacha of defining the malacha from the perspective of its tikkun, of its maleches machsheves. And what we're doing is we're really, in the case of Kaliyah Bishul, we're redefining Bishul. We're expanding our definition of Bishul. We're not saying that Kli Sheni is capable of Bishul. Kli Sheni is not capable of Bishul, period. In the case of a certain machel, of a certain tavshil, every bishul has to create a tikkun in the tavshil. If the bishul could create a tikkun in the tavshil, then despite the fact that klisheni and mevashel, it's mevashel. So again, the question of Kaliyah Bishul, if we analyze it, is whether or not this halacha in Kaliyah Bishul, it's a redefinition of bishul, meaning a redefinition of klisheni. When we say that there's bishul and a klisheni, in the case of Kaliyah Bishul, we say A, that there is such a thing as bishul and klisheni, just that in most cases it won't work, and that's a mitzius, but if liyutzur, you could be mevashel and a klisheni, you'd be chayav for that, and maybe then the thermos is a problem. Or do we say no? That the halacha of Kaliyah Bishul is not halacha in redefining Bishul. Our principles are set. There's something called Kli Rishon. There's something called Kli Sheni. And Kli Rishon is mevashel, Kli Sheni is not. Why are you chay for Kaliyah Bishul? The answer is because there's something called an expanded definition of Bishul, not to redefine Bishul, but to define the totsah of the bishul. If the end product of bishul is to take something that's not edible and make it into edible, then even if a klisheni is the necessary vehicle to achieve that goal, you might be chayav from aleches bishul. So we're not changing our rules as far as bishul is concerned. What we're doing is we're saying that in hilchos maleches machsheves, if you add a heftzah that would be capable of, like, I'll give you an example. We have something called hadacha. Oh, okay. We'll stop here for mincha, and maybe you know, I'll finish this up. But we really want to start melechus over here. Please, if you can, hold on to the Maror Makomos page, because we barely finished the first page, the first side of the page.
I think this is what you're talking about. Is that by a Jew Reis or a Rabbi?
And that seems to be Do Reis.
So how can they read the